Hi everyone, how you doing? Welcome to Hello Esports, a podcast by Orange, Letzebuyer Journal and the Luxembourg Esports Federation about all things esports in Luxembourg. My name is Maxim and I'm your host. Last time out, we got an insightful look at what the life of a pro gamer is like. But to be called a pro, an esports player needs a team. So today, we'll focus on the ecosystem of esports clubs.
Hello everybody, I'm René Treur, esports commentator, and I will be the expert for each episode of this podcast to help you grasp the specific esports terminology. Today's episode will revolve around esports clubs. Esports clubs, or esports organizations if you will, guide and sponsor gamers and gaming teams. They help them create and distribute content on a regular basis and develop their skills to reach their full potential. They also help attract sponsorships and sometimes provide the hardware needed to perform on the highest possible level.
At this moment in time, Luxembourg does not have a professional team in its ranks. And while sponsors from all over the world are fighting for a piece of the pie generated by the esports scene, this enthusiasm has not yet completely arrived in Luxembourg. Even tournaments remain rare in a small country. Here, clubs play at amateur or semi-pro level, and from pro to semi-pro to amateur, teams are run very differently. This is why I'm joined by three guests who represent each end of the Luxembourg gaming scene. The Miller brothers, Tim and Chris, who founded amateur club Team Game Changer.
My name is Tim. I created an organization with two of my brothers, Chris and Jan. And Team Game Changer is the name. And I'm also a member of committee of the Luxembourgish Esports Federation. And yes.
Yeah, I'm Chris, the second brother, I guess. I'm also part of our organization Team Game Changer.
And Joey Hoffmann, managing partner at Four Elements, a pro club that's currently on hold.
I'm Joe, president of Luxembourg Esports Federation and part of Forward and Four Elements.
The three of them were forming a promising lineup of passionate esports fans and young businessmen. So I was buzzing to hear how they run their clubs at their respective levels. But before that, I decided to get to know them, as well as their clubs, a little bit better.
So I played over 10 years Minecraft, and after that I switched to CSGO. Yeah.
Okay, what about you?
A game that I bought, probably Minecraft as well, around the same time.
Okay, so that were the very first one. What are today maybe the favorite ones?
Yeah, so for me, definitely CSGO. Played it for 5-6 years.
So you played competitive before? Like, did you play for your team or...?
Yes, I did play for several teams. Chris and my younger brother, we always created the team and the lineup, and then we just played. Yeah, at the beginning, just for fun, but after that...
We just started competing in different leagues, ESEA or whatever we could find, like, plates. And yeah.
So all three of you at some point created their own team. So what is it that brought you to creating your team?
I guess it's just like after a while you start out, you're playing for fun, and then as you go on, you start playing with friends, and it sort of becomes more competitive though. And that competitive spirit is basically what brought us to the idea of thinking, okay, let's create a lineup, make a team, and actually compete for once. Yeah.
So it's really the passion.
Yeah, the passion. Yeah. Exactly.
And what about you?
Yeah, for me, it's definitely also the passion, but for me, it's more from the business side. So, of course, passion needs to be there for the game. But I did my studies in economics and marketing, and this is when I decided that, in fact, I want to go in the esports business. I want to grow esports also in Luxembourg, and my goal is still to have one Luxembourgish team competing in the top scene in esports.
Yeah, okay. So your team is, of course, Four Elements. Can you maybe present the team a little bit? How is it different from the rest? Is it purely Luxembourgish or with other countries as well? Or
we started with Forward, merged together with Four Elements, and the idea of Four Elements is to be a European team that also pays the players. So everyone that plays...
So a professional team.
Yeah, professional team. So everyone that plays in the team is getting paid except for academy players.
And for Team Game Changer, it's not a professional team.
We are not professionals, for sure. But we are being competitive in almost every aspect we can. We are competing in every possible league for our lineups in Luxembourg and tournaments, etc. Obviously, we are not paying our players, but I guess we do compensate for that. For example, our FIFA players, we are providing them with a bit of money to in order to open packs, which is obviously important for FIFA. Those little things that we used to.
So you're more of a semi-pro team, if we should like label the level.
Yeah,
between amateur and
semi-pro. Between amateur and semi-pro, you could say.
Okay.
Somewhere in between there.
Team Game Changer and 4Element sound like two amazing rides for their board members. But running a club isn't just playing a game once in a while. There's way more to that, and the whole ecosystem behind it. The players, for example, don't appear by magic. And that was my first question. Where do you find your gamers and how do you keep hold of them?
First of all, we have to decide whether or not we need a new player, a new lineup or whatever. So in case, for instance, one of our players isn't performing too good, we're thinking about replacing them, then we're starting to scout for other options. First of all, in the Luxembourgish scene, since most people competing out of Luxembourg aren't paid anyways. So there's that opportunity, first of all. And then we try to contact them, make something out of it, and talk to them about how we would support them as a organization, and
manage to pitch your club to convince them. But where do you scout them? Like, are there any tournaments where you go and there are players without a team, or in other teams as well, as you said?
Yeah, as an example, we have sometimes some FIFA tournaments in Luxembourg, and when we see that there's a player that's performing really, really well, then we just go for it. And
so you have to convince the player, but you don't have to pay a fee to the other club, or how does that work?
No, because most of the players don't have a club in Luxembourg. So.
Yeah, but if they have a club, do you have to pay something? Like we see it in other sports, or
mostly not. No,
it also depends if they're under contract or not. So for instance, there's many you could say teams that aren't legal organizations, and therefore you can acquire these players without them having to, or we having to, pay a fee for.
Also, this is one point where you have to watch out in Luxembourg. Like, there are a lot of orgs that have no legal base, and still they are doing contracts. So there's a problem with that the contracts are even not valid.
Yeah.
So you need to watch out. This is something, because esports is still some sort of a wild west. So a lot of people are doing things that that are not good for the market. We also see it in Luxembourg, and so often players can just be signed.
But I guess all of that is a bit different in the ecosystem of an esports club that is professional.
Yeah, of course, there are big amounts of money that is paid between big transfers. It's a bit the same like in football.
Yeah. So you have your team already paid fees for players?
No,
and everything?
But we got already fees.
Okay.
Because basically how we work is that we want to. So we, first of all, we scout on different platforms and scout really big international talents. And then, of course, you try to convince them that they will participate in your project. And my goal is to develop them. Because otherwise, you need to be honest, if you want to start with one of the best teams, then you need a lot of money to first sign them, buy them from another team, and then also pay their salaries.
Yeah, well, I guess if there's a good promising player at Team Game Changer, you'll probably be interested, or
probably yes.
So you'll have to fight to keep your player.
In many sports like football, basketball or handball, teams have their own fields, stadiums and infrastructures. They train and host their games there. But how is it for esports and Luxembourg's amateur club specifically? Do they have their own arena too? That was my next question for Tim and Chris.
For us, it's not possible.
Currently, we do not have the resources to acquire sort of a thing like that. On the other hand, we are looking forward to provide a sort of a boot camp for our players in order to get that team chemistry up and
the team buildings.
Yeah.
So, but right now it's really training from home, everybody online, and that's how you get in touch and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And also with the current situation of the COVID virus, kind of
makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, training from home and with a lot of help from coaches, but there's nothing more that we do at the moment because we don't have the capabilities to offer an HQ as an example. Yeah,
and how do you even get to coaches? Like, isn't that tough to find because it's very new? Maybe coaches are just as young as the players, I don't know.
I mean, on the other hand, coaches, we actually do acquire professionals for that. So they are getting paid by us.
So the coach has a salary.
Yeah, we don't have a coach in our organization itself, but we get coaches to like for a few hours every month to just look after our players and then pay those coaches.
Okay, and how is it at Four Elements? Is it the same, or do you have like a HQ where you train, where the coach can talk to the players?
So we have an HQ, but because it's an international team, to get them all together, there you need a lot of resources that in Luxembourg currently and in the whole Benelux, you cannot find the partners for it.
And how does that work for the games? Like, you don't have your own stadiums or, you know, it's the same like HQ, but you don't have any home games or away games. It's like one venue for the whole tournament.
Yeah, but I think to have your home venue, this is more something that is related to team sports. Mm-hmm. Because if a lot of sports don't have this classic.
Yeah.
For example, okay, if you do cycling, of course you have your hometown cycling ways, but it's not that, it's the same as a stadium.
As much as amateur clubs are fueled by passion, no company can survive without money. It's needed to compensate players, to have the necessary equipment to play, and even to make the trip to events. So what is it that generates money in the world of esports?
Yeah, at first by winning prize pools. So yeah, for that you need good players. That's obvious, yeah. But yeah, that's probably the only way to make money. We have some small sponsors, or partners, but here in Luxembourg, it's also really hard to find one that's really interested in esports.
Yeah, so the sponsors aren't yet aware of the big impact that esports is gonna and can have.
Yeah, especially since, in Luxembourg, esports is averagely considered as a joke, to be honest.
So as a 17-year-old, being full-time playing video games pretty much is definitely challenging.
Yikes!
he treats it like a full-time
it's
job,
a full-time
like a
job.
Serious app.
I can't fucking, I'm not gonna be able to make it through this video with a straight face.
It's not an official sport yet. It's not recognized as a sport. And although we are getting closer to that point where it eventually will get recognized, that's still a long way to go.
Yeah, of course. And I guess that's very different for a pro club.
Yeah, I think the revenue streams are still a bit different. So first of all, if you are at a certain level, then you start with merchandise. Also, something that is coming up at the real top level pro scene is more and more franchise leagues. So basically, you need to pay to get in. Yeah. But on the other side, you have a revenue stream that is guaranteed. This is also something that probably in the long term will be more and more present in the esports scene. Then, for example, something that we always said is we don't calculate with prize pools because it's something uncertain. If you pay salaries, then you need to have a budget where you have a certainty. Sure. Yeah, and that's why we did not calculate with prize monies. On the other hand, what is certainly true is that sponsors, partners are approximately 70-80% of the share of the budget of a team, and something that is also coming that you see more and more is tickets. So basically, a lot of teams are starting to have their own arenas where they will also have little tournaments where they can sell tickets. And because currently professional esports organizations are searching different ways to get more revenue streams. Mm-hmm.
You talked about competitions, the prize pools and everything that are very important to make money as well. What kind of competitions can you compete in here in Luxembourg?
Yeah, so the Orange E-League.
The only one.
For FIFA, then yeah, some small tournaments, I guess. Some, but not a lot. And yeah.
But I guess here in Luxembourg, if you don't have like someone who competes in the football games like Pro Evolution Soccer or FIFA, most importantly.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
You kind of have no future because the leagues in other games aren't as important.
Yeah, that's true. Like FIFA has the main leagues, with, for instance, the Orange E-League. And then there's also a lot of smaller tournaments that just come up from time to time, but you really can't rely on that in other games. For instance, in CSGO, we were talking about it before, the last big event is like, when was that? Like, there's one big event, but it's like 2 or 3 years ago, and it just doesn't cut it. Like,
yeah, that's that you have no perspective.
Yeah, and this is, for example, for the Luxembourgish market, one big problem, because since 7 years approximately, there was only one game that was pushed by organizers. So, and this is also the fact why you see that currently we have 5-6 players that have a pretty good level in FIFA, but it's the only game where we have a good level at a larger scale.
Yeah, there's another thing I always ask myself as well. If you look at the Orange E-League, you send your players there, but they play like they represent another team, a football team. Like if you have your player that is champion, maybe we're going to say, yeah, he's a player from Avignon und Stidling, but not from Team Game Changer. That must be frustrating as well.
Yeah, but as an example, we did a cooperation with Erzell Altenburg. Mm-hmm. And we work a lot together, but in the end, the name of Erzeller will stand there. But the most of the people from esports know that the players belong to us. But
the ones who know esports know.
The ones who know it, yes.
Yeah, I mean, although it's kind of visible to the outside as well, because like, for instance, we did custom jerseys for our players in cooperation with our club. And they seem pretty fine, though. They had our colors on one half and then merging into the blue colors of Zell Eitelberg. And I mean, still one could see that it's not just...
And that Zell were taking you seriously,
yeah.
Which is
cool.
They
definitely were, yeah.
Sports clubs are also characterized by their fans. Whether they play home or away, their fan base follows and makes noise to support its players in the best way possible. In football, the so-called 12th man helps its team get a mental edge on their opponents. I was wondering if that phenomenon has been observed in esports too, especially at bigger clubs like 4Elements.
We do have supporters, mainly being family, friends and stuff from players or etc. But like apart from that, there's rarely any different people. Maybe there's a few people here and there that just get interested and they see, oh yeah, right, that guy is pretty good, he's playing for that organization, and they just look into it. And yeah, but
they can't see the games online or things like that.
Sorry, what's that?
They can't see the games online.
If there's a stream available, then yeah, they could, but there's not that many, like the E-League, for instance, had a stream, but like smaller tournaments often are just offline tournaments and they just don't have a stream. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a big challenge as well on social media, to be able to keep the fans updated with the results and everything.
The problem is that you can like stream every game, but there's no fans who watch the game, so... That's the problem, yeah.
So in the end, you'll have maybe the highlights on our social medias, but no actual fans like in the moment that they are playing.
Yeah. And is that the same thing for you at 4Elements, or?
There's definitely fan base. When we stream CSGO matches, there are people following. But it is a problem. We had the same problem last year with League of Legends, where we then said, okay, we will do the production of a stream. because it's important to stay close and that people can follow. But of course, it's as the level in Luxembourg in a lot of games is not so high. People have a lot of possibilities to watch a better level of for example, of CS:GO or other games. And on the one side, okay, you can say they should follow their team, but on the other side, I need to be honest, everyone has also one of the top teams that he is cheering for. And so if there are a lot of streams on top teams, so they have the possibilities to watch these. And that's why physical tournaments would also be, live tournaments would also be very interesting, because this gives another twist than only streaming.
Yeah. Esports in Luxembourg still have a long way to go. Competitions are rare, players too, and sponsors aren't yet aware of the potential of gaming. And as long as they won't be, it will be tough for local clubs like Team Game Changer to grow. Still, I wanted to know what's on the horizon in the coming years for Tim and Chris, as well as for Joey.
Where do you hope to see Team Game Changer in a few years? How do you see the club evolve?
We have different games which we play, League of Legends, FIFA, Counter-Strike. Yeah, to be honest, we want to see them on the top, our players. Especially in the Orange E League, because we have two players who really can, we really have the talent to become a good player. Yeah, we are aiming forward to become one of the best. So also,
yeah, and also on expanding our roster definitely, and then also to hopefully acquire more sponsors in order to provide for our players, and also. All in all, get more results, better results, and just grow our. Grow a fan base.
Yeah. And have you ever won something already, like a trophy or?
We trophy not yet, no. But we placed fifth place in the Orange League last season.
And how about you at 4Elements? I know you're on hold right now. So what is coming?
Change.
No exclusive infos or.
We are currently restructuring. I hope that we can announce something soon.
Okay. Okay, so you're working on it.
Yeah, definitely. It's not over yet.
Well, Joey seems to like a bit of teasing. Let's see what 4Elements can surprise us with in the near future, and hope that Team Game Changer can finally clinch their first trophy soon. Thanks to Tim and Chris Miller, we'll be cheering for you guys in the Orange E-League, and to Joey Hoffmann for giving us a look behind the scenes of their clubs. The ecosystem is certainly not perfect yet, and there is still a long way to go, but esports are worth it. So make sure to press play on next episode too. See ya!